I have an older sister who is at the age in which she suffering at least some dementia, and part of the pattern is that she repeats things, and I try to call her every other week, and she lives in Boston, and I know that one thing that in our conversation on the phone, she's always going to ask, have I told you about the time when I was walking to church with our mother, and I said, sometimes I'll lie and say no, but this story, in every conversation, I swear, she brings it up. Usually I say, yes, you have, but go ahead. And she says, we were walking to church on a Sunday, and it was a long ways, and while we were walking, I looked down and I saw a dollar bill on the sidewalk, and I grabbed it and picked it up, and she said, oh, what's that? And I showed it to her, and she took it and put it in her purse for safekeeping. And we continued on to church. And when we got to church, during the collection, she opened her purse and she took out my dollar bill and put it into the collection basket. And even though we were in church, she says, I told her, I wanted to buy an ice cream with that. That's my dollar bill. And she said, no, it's not yours. It's God's. And I always hear that story over and over again. It's a true occurrence that is so embedded in her mind that even now, while she is going over some of those events from the past, that one so affected her that it continues to be with her. And it's a wonderful reminder, I think, of how important little acts of generosity or kindness are, because they can affect us way beyond what we would normally think. And I think even beyond that, there's something else. To me, it's wonderful that over a billion people, maybe more, on this weekend hear that gospel being proclaimed. And we don't know the name of that widow, And we don't know anything else about her except that Jesus tells the apostles, look at what she just did. That little donation that she made from her poverty is everything that she had to give. She gave it. It is worth more to God than all of the wealth that those other people gave. Actually, the treasury was part of the temple, and they had 13. They would look like funnels that you could put coins in, and they were metal. And when you put they didn't have paper monetary units, so it would all be, when you put in a big coin, it would make quite a noise. And so, if you wanted people to know that you were making a big contribution, you could make sure that they knew it. So, and she just puts in those two small coins, 2 cents. And the 2 cents, in one way, are meant to pull us back to that first reading today from the book of Kings, in which the prophet Elijah, he's this great prophet. He may be, after Moses, the greatest prophet of the Hebrew scriptures, because the prophecies about the Messiah were that before the Messiah comes, Elijah will return. He's the one that went off in a fiery chariot, swing low, sweet chariot. And this is that great prophet, and he's brought people back from the dead. He's defeated all the 500 prophets of priests of Baal, and he's an amazing figure. And in this case, he goes to the widow, a pagan widow in Zarephath outside of Israel, and she recognizes him as a holy man. And this is at the end of in the middle of a 3-year drought, and he comes to this widow who is desperately poor. She's just picking up a few sticks, and he asks her for a glass of water, and she gives it to him. And that reminds us too of the woman at the well when Jesus goes to her and said, so these scriptures are wonderfully connected. And they want us to connect them as well, because they help make sense out of the wonder of what's taking place. This woman, you know how the story goes, that she said she's very hungry, and she tells him that she has just a little bit of flour and a little bit of oil, and she's going to prepare a last meal for her and her little son. And then she says, we're going to die after that, because they have nothing else, and it's a horrible drought that they're in the middle of. And then Elijah says to her, this could be from a Mel Brooks film. He says, after she says how little they have, oh, well, make me a cake. Thank you. Where are the ingredients? So anyway, she says, well, I'll do my best. And he says, by the way, you, for your generosity, for a year, the Lord God says, your flour will not run out and the oil jar will not run dry. And that's exactly what happened. He stays there for a year and they have more than enough to eat because of that generosity. I think the simple message for us this weekend is that when we hit bottom, when we have nowhere else to turn, that's the place of grace. And Saint Paul, the apostle, says, I boast of my weakness, because when I am weak, then I am strong in the Lord. When we have nowhere else to turn, then God has us exactly where he wants us. And then we can turn to him and recognize that this God, who is pure love, this God is forgiving. Because he is love, he cannot help but give himself, and he gives himself totally to us in his Son. And his Son gives himself totally to us by dying on the cross for us. And he waits for us until he has us exactly where he wants us. The people that are in AA or in any of the other addiction help programs know that usually you have to hit bottom before you realize that you cannot do this on your own. You need someone else's help. So if you want your life to increase, if you're linked to God in some way, then you give your life away and it will increase. As this poor widow of Zarephath, she has nothing, just that little bit, but she gives it to the prophet, and then she has more than enough for the whole year to survive. If you want your faith to be stronger, give it away. Faith is this amazing thing. If we try to keep it to ourselves or just to ourselves, we will lose it. It will run dry, and it will be gone. It's the law of the gift, and we know it over and over again. If you do not give it away, you will lose it. And our Lord says it in another way. If you would be my disciple, deny yourself. Deny all those false selves and take up your cross and follow me. Whoever you are right now, think of that poor widow. She had just a little bit to put into the treasury. Maybe your life has been all messed up, and maybe you've done a lot of things wrong, and maybe you're not happy with where you are right now. Or maybe you've done fairly well at trying to be a disciple of Christ, but there are still issues that are unresolved, that are plaguing you. Whatever it is, if, like the poor widow, you take whatever little you have and you put it into his hands, he can do incredible things with it, because he is the source of all that we are and all that we have, and he will take it and work his wonderful grace with it. As St. Paul says, I boast not of my strength and intelligence and all of that. I boast of my weakness, because when I am weak, then I am strong in the Lord. So want to just mention one person that I think did this without even realizing what he was doing. We had him as a guest at Family Theater just this Friday night. His name is Daniel Puder, P-U-D-E-R, and he as a child had a learning disability, and because of that, he was in the slow group, and because of that, he was bullied by a lot of kids his age, and he suffered a lot from that, and yet he had a father who loved him and a mother who loved him but was a trial to him, and I'm sure he was a trial to her as well, and a grandmother who was wonderful in his life as well. In any case, he was wounded by that, and he grew up and became, of all things, a pro wrestler, and then he got involved in mixed martial arts and was very successful. He retired, I think, at the age of 28 with 29 wins and no losses in the cage, in the mixed martial arts. Now, I'm not holding him up as an example of the road that any one of us should go, but just what he did with this wound in his life and what happens later. After he retired, he said, "I remember seeing on CNN stories, and it happened on the networks that several teenagers within a matter of a few months, because of bullying on Facebook and others, committed suicide." And he said, "That reminded me of how difficult it was being bullied when I was a little kid." So he said, "I've got this persona that is public, and I've got the energy. I want to do something about this to prevent it." So he started what is now called My Life, My Power, a program, an anti-bullying program, and it's in schools. It's in the after-school programs that a lot of the police forces are using in this country, and he uses the media. He goes on. He's amazingly well-spoken now and very persuasive, and he is doing so much good. And he's only, I think he's 30 or 31 years old, and he goes all around the country and Canada speaking and introducing this program. He's written a book. And all of this started because he had this weakness, this disability, and suffered from it. But he has taken and turned that into something wonderful. And he is a man of faith, and he's connected to God. And he knew where his strength came from. And so I use him as just a simple example of someone who's taken and done what that widow did. She turned to God and gave everything that she had. This is not in any way part of the stewardship appeal or for the parish. I'm not asking you for money. I'm simply saying that God, he wants more than money. He wants more than our material. He wants our hearts. He wants everything that we have out of his pure love. And if we turn it over to him, he does wonderful things with it.